The following is a duplicate of tape 3, side 1, of an interview conducted with Gilbert Leung for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
These courtyard gardens we found was the use of large, sometimes huge, grotesque or gnarled or eroded rocks placed in strategic points in the courtyard and combined with trees and plants.
Mm-hmm.
So our job was to find these rocks and to bring them in from the mainland China. Well, that was a little too ambitious, but we were very fortunate to find some rocks that were almost as good as the ones we saw in China, right here in the United States, in the state of Kansas. It just so happened that one of the founders of this museum has a ranch in Wichita, Kansas, and told us that they had rocks there, but nobody paid too much attention to it because we didn't know how good they were until a sample was brought back. And when I saw a 20-inch sample, and I think it weighs about 75 or 80 pounds, I immediately realized that these things, these rocks, are the closest things to the ones we've seen in China. So a trip was made. I went out there with the owner, and this was in January, cold weather setting in, and I saw this whole field of these eroded rock formations, and they really turned me on. And I keep saying, well, it's like a kid in a candy store. There were so many of these wonderful specimens, we just didn't know which ones to pick. But we had to be realistic because they would have to be trucked back, and you can get just so much and so many onto a flatbed truck. As a result, we now have 7 or 8 wonderful rocks. Two of them are standing on their on end, and the others are prone, and they go to make up this courtyard, which we are we very proudly say is the only one of its kind in the United States.
And this is in Pasadena.
It's in Pasadena, the downtown Pasadena, actually, on Los Robles, half a block from Colorado Boulevard.
Now, what other groups, you know, do you belong to, Gilbert?
Well, I belong to a Chinese Historical Society, which my wife and I find very rewarding. We meet people who have a common interest in the roots of our Chinese in California. I think one of the important functions of this society is that not only are we uncovering history and bringing it in focus for the people of today and of tomorrow, we are interviewing people that have seen the history of Chinese here, and if this is recorded and passed on for the future students and so forth, if this weren't done, these things would never come to light and part of this history would be lost. So I think the Chinese Historical Society has definitely a important place in our Chinese society.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Gilbert, you have an office in Chinatown, right?
Yes.
Now, when did you first, you know, set up business in...
Well, I had my office previous to that in the Los Feliz area. And then when I did a building for Jack Lee, for his his Chinese supermarket, upstairs he wanted a series of offices for professionals. So that building has been done 13 or 14 years now. And when it was first finished, Jack Lee said, come on, I need tenants. So I said, I'll move in there for a year or two. But I find I've been there ever since, and it's very convenient for me.
What is this? What is his store? What is the name of his store?
His store is Yi Xing Qiong.
Oh, that's the building that you designed.
Right.
And eventually moved in.
And Mr. Yi Xing Qiong now has really, really gotten to be the most successful businessman in Chinatown.
Uh-huh. This is Jack Lee, you mean?
Jack Lee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, since you've, you've established.
Well, in the last 10 or 12 years, there's mm-hmm. been this great influx of new people into mm-hmm. the area. First from Taiwan, Hong Kong, and then in more recent years, all manner of Asians from Singapore, Indonesia, from Thailand, Vietnam, and so forth. I always said that if you stood in Jack Lee's store, Yi Xing Qiong,
mm-hmm.
if you stood in one spot there long enough, you'd see all the Asians pass right in front of you in all combinations. Some of them are returned GIs that have come back with their Asian wives,
mm-hmm.
and now, more recently, I noticed a great influx of Vietnamese, because
mm-hmm.
you can see their calligraphy, their signs,
mm-hmm.
are so different from the Chinese. And yet, basically, I think there's a relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese were the great nomads and the Jews of the Orient, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
And you see more evidence of stores bearing Vietnamese signs, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I notice in the loan applications that come
mm-hmm.
into the East-West Savings and Loan,
mm-hmm.
When we were younger, the whole Chinese community consisted of names as Wong, Lee, Chans, Liu, and Lum, and that sort of thing. One-syllable Chinese names.
Mm-hmm.
And they were immediately recognizable as being Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and Guangdong Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the Northerners
mm-hmm.
with their names, their spelling. Their spelling is a little different. Liang would be spelled Liang, L-I-A-N-G,
mm-hmm.
and Chen would be Chen,
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Li would be L-I. And then now this latest change, as you call it,
mm-hmm.
with all the influx of all the other Orientals. And I notice on these loan applications, the names you wouldn't believe. They're with a, well, the Vietnamese, a lot
mm-hmm.
of them, and Thai. And they just definitely are not the one-syllable Lee, Chan, Wong, and so forth.
Now, are these ethnic Chinese, or are they actually, you know, Thais or Vietnamese that you're
Well, I'm no expert on that sort of thing,
uh-huh.
but I think a lot of Chinese went to all these different
mm-hmm.
countries
mm-hmm.
to, because the Chinese are the great merchants,
mm-hmm.
and some of them end up marrying with girls of
mm-hmm.
That particular country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for other reasons,
mm-hmm.
lots of times their names are changed
mm-hmm.
so that they are not discriminated
mm-hmm.
against.
Mm-hmm.
This even happened in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
A Wong down in Mexico has tacked on to the end there something that just doesn't look Chinese at all. I can't think of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in Thailand, the Sarah Wongzi seems to be a prominent name there, and I wonder whether that has something to do with the
mm-hmm.
name Wong.
Well, what is your hope, say, you know, for the Chinese here in this country? Have you ever thought about what you would like to see? You know, all through the years that you were born here, you grew up here.
Well, I think this is, we've always looked upon the United States as being the great melting pot,
mm-hmm.
and certainly with the German, the Irish, the Swede, and mm-hmm. and so forth, it has been the country and the place of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like the Asians are taking advantage of it too.
Mm-hmm.
They come over here for higher education, they come over here for business opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see but what this will all bring about a better life and a better world, and they all have something to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
You put it all together, and I think tomorrow will be better than today.
Mm-hmm. Gilbert, in looking over my notes on what we've been talking about so far, I wanted to tie up a few loose ends because I forgot to ask you a few questions. Now, what brought your father here? Did he ever say? Did he ever tell you?
Well, I think most of our ancestors that came over to America mainly during those years, turn of the century, was to seek better opportunity for work. And I don't think conditions and life was that great in the villages. So the opportunity to go to Kamsan, America, and seek some sort of a fortune was the ambition of every Chinese that could somehow manage to get passage and come to America.
Mm. Yeah. Did your father have to, you know, borrow money or something like that in order to come here? Did he ever say?
I don't have any information on that.
Now, all of, you know, the children in your family have English names. Now, who gave the names to each one of you? Do you?
Yes, my family, my mother, named us, gave us our Chinese name.
Mm-hmm.
But she depended on the Chan family that I mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
that is the Chan Kyu Sing family.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Carolyn Chan, that would be her father and her mother.
Mm-hmm.
My folks looked to them for guidance and help and anything pertaining to the English language.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all four of us children were named by the Chan family, either by Mr. and Mrs. Chan or by the Carolyn and her older sister,
mm-hmm.
Catherine.
I do ask.
They both became first Chinese school teachers in public school.
Mm. Did you ever ask Carolyn?
Well, I've often wondered about our names, the being so anglicized. My older brother was Edward, I'm Gilbert, my sister's Marjorie, and my younger brother is Elmer, and I've often asked Carolyn, I said, how is it we ended up with names that didn't have a Chinese ring to it, and they're so English? And so she answered me back, said, well, we did the best we could. Your mother called up about the night before each time and didn't give us much opportunity to research.
Now, did you give a Chinese name to your daughter?
Yes, my mother named my my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I needed her help,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Man Gei. And as my mother explained to me, that this Man Gei in Chinese history is a famous musician,
mm-hmm.
a singer.
What's his name?
My daughter is not a musician.
Now, did you did your daughter, you know, have to? I mean, did she ever go to Chinese school, or did you have any opportunity for teaching her Chinese?
We didn't send her to Chinese school as such, but when she was a very young child, my grandmother took her by the hand and gave her some very preliminary primary tutelage in mm-hmm. basic Chinese and Cantonese.
But later on in the college years, she took an interest and had, I think, several courses in Mandarin. Mm-hmm. And then when she went on a trip, she stayed in Taiwan for several months and taught some English and learned some Chinese in exchange, mm-hmm. which kind of tickled the old man.
Well, I was just remembering, you know, that you mentioned during your college days, you know, that there were more men, you know, versus women. And I forgot to ask you, you know, what was the ratio? The men outnumbered the women by.
Well, at USC, we had a Chinese student club, so to speak. And as I recall, the membership consisted more on the male students than on the girls. In proportion, I would say something like 1-2 or maybe 1-3.
And were most of the girls American born? Or
I would say
China?
About half and half. There were foreign students as well as local born Chinese girls.
Well, I think those are about the loose ends I wanted to tie up there. Thank you very much, Gil.
You're welcome.
Your help.
This is the end of the duplicate of Tape 3, Side 1 of the interview with Gilbert Leung.